Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
It's always interesting to me to see the kind of push notifications that the ESPN app on my phone will give me. Every now and then, it's something. Let's be honest. That's unnecessary. The day that Sean Payton was hired as head coach of the Denver Broncos, for example, and that D'Amico Ryans was hired, I got a push notification for Sean Payton. I also got a push notification for the New York Liberty of the WNBA putting together their own version of a Big Three because they signed Breonna Stewart. I remember thinking to myself, why am I getting a push notification for this and not for D'Amico Ryans being hired as the head coach of the Houston Texans? When my ESPN profile very clearly says, like, the teams that I am interested in are all the teams in H-Town and the teams that I grew up rooting for. Paul, were you a closet New York Liberty fan back in the day? No, I was always Houston Comets. Comets till I die. Cheryl Swoops, what?
Maybe
Cynthia Cooper.
Maybe it's because she went from the Seattle Storm to the Liberty.
They're maybe, like, but I never.
This guy's a big storm head.
I'm a storm head. I like that. That's a good term, Sean Babes, behind the glass. But I got a push notification yesterday for Tiger Woods, who is in progress in the second round of, I'll be honest, I don't even know the tournament.
It's the Genesis.
The Genesis
Open.
Whatever. Right.
I don't know.
But I got a push notification that said Tiger Woods wrapped up the round 2 under, 5 shots behind the lead of Max Homa and Keith Mitchell. Today, he is 1 under through 6 holes in the second round at the Genesis Open. But you got a push notification for Tiger Woods. And here's some of what yesterday sounded like for Tiger Woods on the course.
Smoke that thing, Tiger!
Oh, yeah, baby. That'll get them excited up there. What a fine shot from Tiger Woods. Oh, my. Tiger Woods does it again.
I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Tiger out there. 7 months of waiting, rehabbing, and he finished yesterday with birdies on the last 3 holes. And you could hear the excitement in the crowd. That's what I love. You don't get that with other golfers. You just don't. Here's some more from yesterday with Tiger Woods.
Hello, 18.
And leaves it underneath the hole.
I mean, what a finish. What a finish. Gutted it out. Birdie, birdie.
We talked earlier in the week about universally loved athletes, and Tiger Woods is still beloved by those who watch golf and by people who are casual golf fans like myself, even with the incident that he had with he and his wife and perhaps every single woman in the world. That's besides the point. He gets you excited. He gets me excited. I saw this push notification and I thought to myself, as a casual golf observer who generally only watches Sundays of majors, I think I'm going to go out of my way to watch him this weekend. And hopefully he does not fall off a cliff the rest of today, because he is
He did have a bogey, two bogeys, one birdie. So he's one shot back of where he was going into today. But I think we're at the point now with Tiger Woods where when he is golfing well, you got to watch immediately, no matter where. He's someone I definitely took for granted growing up. No one's been as dominant an athlete in their sport the way that Tiger Woods has, because I can't think of somebody who is going to take the mantle from him. I know we've a couple of times tried to say guys like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and others are going to take the gauntlet, if you will, and move forward as like the clear consensus number one golfer, but no one's ever been able to do it. And I think that if you see Tiger Woods is playing well on a course, you got to tune in. Because you don't know how much longer you're going to be able to see this. You don't know how many more opportunities that he'll have to actually be in the thick of things. Don't you generally expect now, with all the stuff that Tiger Woods' body's been through, that the idea of him being able to make it through a four-day tournament playing at the level he used to is really low? Like back injuries and leg injuries and knee injuries and stuff. Even if he is super yoked as far as golfers go, do you expect him to do this on a regular basis? I do not. So when he's doing well, I feel like we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we watch him. We don't know when he's going to be able to do this again, even if it is at an Open that I don't even know the name of. The Genesis Open, featuring Phil Collins. Studio. Is that Phil Collins by himself or is that Genesis? I don't know. Whatever the case. Tiger's doing well. I think that you owe it to yourself to make sure that you watch Tiger Woods at some point this weekend. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. On the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you can tweet me at Gallant Says Too.
That's Phil Collins' solo work.
Phil Collins' solo work, okay. I know that Easy Lover is Phil Collins and Peter Bailey. What are the good Genesis songs, Sean Mapes?
Oh, off the top of my head?
Yeah. No, you can, I mean, look them up.
I am.
Pull that clip off, Jamie.
I am very much looking up these songs.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't recognize it.
Well, yes, because you're 5 years old, but give me some Genesis.
Follow You, Follow Me, I Can't Dance, Home by the Sea, That's All,
Hell
Invisible
yeah.
Touch.
Ooh, That's All. Invisible Touch, too. I like
In Too Deep?
Two.
Is that for the movie, In Too Deep?
In Too Deep. I don't know.
It's probably
you,
not.
You know I love you, but I just can't take this. You know I love you, but I'm in too deep. Come on. It's great songs. Can't believe you don't know what Genesis is. Absolutely outrageous.
Abacab?
I haven't heard of that one. No. I haven't heard of that one.
It's just an interesting name.
Is In the Air Tonight not Genesis? Is that just Phil Collins?
I think that's Phil Collins' solo.
Son of a bitch. Okay, well, listen, Phil Collins had a more successful career on his own than he did with Genesis. How about that? We learn new things every single day. Will you go out of your way to watch Tiger Woods this weekend? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text, and as well on the HRNP listener line, you can tweet us at Gallant Says or join us on Twitch. Also, do you trust Dana Brown? We talked about that a little bit earlier, and we will have good news from another Houston sports team, I think, by the end of the weekend. You'll find out what that is next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
What a banger. Sit studio. Love it. It's a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. There's another song by Phil Collins that I'm a massive fan of, and it's with Philip Bailey. It's called Easy Lover, and I do think that some of you Astros fans have been perhaps too easy a lover when it comes to Dana Brown. Wow, Paul, what a transition. So if you want to weigh in on that, he's saying all the right things. I just think some of you guys are like, yeah, I'm doing touchdown dances because he's saying things you want to hear. General managers will say things you want to hear because they want to make you happy. If they're being transparent, it's for a reason. Because otherwise, it's hurting your leverage. It's hurting your ability to negotiate. By the way, take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with us. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational. It's presented by SiteJab.com. It benefits kids' meals. This year's tournament's going to be Wednesday, March 8th, 10:30 at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from the Carback Brewing Company, lunch, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. You can register now at ESPN975.com. Earlier today, Kelvin Sampson joined the bench to talk about his University of Houston Cougars. They took down SMU 80-65 last night. They're 24-2 and 12-1 in conference. And they got some good news. They're going to be number one for the third time this year, you would think, by the end of the weekend, because Alabama just lost 68-59 to Tennessee. They'll fall to 22-4. Of course, they beat the Cougs when UH was number one earlier this year. An interesting tidbit, with Alabama's loss to Tennessee, there have now been 8 losses by the AP number one team this year. It's tied for the most in a regular season in the AP poll era with 1993 to 1994, going all the way back to 1948 to 1949. 2 of those losses have been by the Cougs, but they're about to be number one one more time. And it's that time of the year where we really do want to fast forward to March, right? Doesn't matter if the Cougs are number one to you, does it? I heard Jeremy talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I agree with Jeremy in that. I don't care whether or not the Cougs are number one. I do think if you're a Cougs fan, you should celebrate the fact that you were number one. I know some of my favorite moments in college were the couple of weeks where Syracuse actually found its way to being the number one basketball program. I want to say that was in 2010, maybe it was 2011, whatever the case. You should enjoy it, but it's not the end-all, be-all to be number one. They're just about to be number one again. Sampson had this to say last night after the Cougs took down SMU by 15 on the road.
You know, when you get to almost the month of March, the last thing I'm going to do is start slicing and dicing road wins. I think that puts us at 7-0 in the conference on the road, and I'm proud of that.
12-1 in conference as well. We also heard from Jamal Shedd on maintaining leads with the Cougs. They were able to sit on this one against SMU last night.
That's a part of maturity. You know, once you get that lead, you have to know how to maintain it because, you know, March is right around the corner. If you don't know how to maintain a lead, then you're not going to go very far in it. So we got to mature a little bit more and just be able to maintain a certain lead like we just had tonight.
You're hearing the right things from everybody. There is a maturity to this team and an effort level with this team that I do think bodes well for them come March. But I think we're all at the point right now of, hey, we want to see what they can do in the actual tournament. They do have a tough game, as pointed out by Ocho on the Twitch, that they play Memphis on Sunday. But Kendrick Davis rolled his ankle last night. So I guess that bodes well for them. That's the unfortunate part about the American Athletic Conference right now. It is not a bad basketball conference by any means. Like, Cincinnati's historically been good. Memphis has historically been good. There are other programs off the top of my head, Wichita State, that have been good in the past. But, you know, it's not the Big 12. And I just can't help, as someone who is a commitment phobe and always is looking to perhaps better deal himself in the world of dating, because that's what the apps make you do. The apps make you convinced that you can do better than what you're doing, and it sucks. It's something that, it's the reason I've been off most of the apps, to be perfectly honest, as far as dating. I know no one cares about this for a couple of months now, because it doesn't make you feel better. You're constantly thinking you can do better. But if I'm the Cougs, I'm like, yeah, I want to see what they can do in the Big 12. If I'm a Cougs fan in particular, and I am a Cougs fan, you know, a lot of people talk about how I'm the biggest Cougs fan in town. Like Jeremy Branham, I don't know. Like, he's being paid to root for the Cougs, you know, because he's their play-by-play guy. I am an objective fan. So Mr. Coug himself, Paul Gallant, is feeling good about this team and believes they will be number one by the end of the weekend.
I'm just admiring your Coug. Cougness.
Everyone knows about it, man. I mean, when I was at that Cougs Alabama game a couple of weeks ago, I was participating in some of the cheers. That awesome cheer that Anyone who's been to a Cougs game knows the Womp. Hell yeah, dude. It's the mother bleeping Cougars. They say it just like that. C-O-U-G-A-R-S. Who the bleep's that? It's the mother bleeping Cougars. Sean Mapes wearing a Cougs shirt underneath. Hell yeah, dude.
Thank you to the Cougs for giving me this t-shirt for free.
I will wear it too.
If you give me a free shirt, I will wear it.
I took my free Cougs shirt to a tailor to make it form-fitting. What? Sean's shaking his head. I'm sorry. As the fashionista of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, which is perhaps like the tallest small person, you know, competition, given that most people in radio dress like slobs. You know, we got Jake Asman, you know, wearing a beanie.
Yeah, beanie was pretty fly, though.
Was it a Carhartt, do you think? Do you think he wears a Carhartt? Honestly, probably. If Jake does, I'd be like, dude, you have some influencer possibilities here. He's on Raya. I'm not. I'm not bitter about it at all.
I'll ask him next time I see him. Was that a Carhartt beanie?
He is a YouTube star. So I heard this, and I'm a big fan of Jake. We heard from the producer of the Killer Bees, Joe George, new producer, that someone angrily called in the middle of the Killer Bees to yell at Jake Asman about the New York Islanders. And I kind of want this person to call into my show, and I'll just pretend I'm Jake. I want to cosplay there. I don't know if I can pull off the New York accent, though. I feel like, much like my English accent generally turns Australian and vice versa, it's one of those. It's not my Southern accent. It's not my Boston accent. It's just not very strong, but how the hell did I get up on this tangent? I don't even know. It's Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, give me credit. We haven't talked about the Texans at all today, but guess what? The Texans also were on the front page of ESPN today. I got on ESPN this morning to see if there were any stories that happened in the middle of last night. ESPN released predictions for 2023. Fantasy football analyst Eric Moody, who's that? I don't know. Had this to say on who the most interesting team going into next season is. Texans! What? While the Texans hit rock bottom offensively and defensively last season, but not on special teams, shout out to Frank Ross, who was a cool dude. DeMeco Ryans, another young former player turned coach, makes them intriguing. As a former 49ers assistant coach, Ryan is bringing in passing game coordinator Bobby Slowick and others from San Francisco staff. So while it'll be interesting to see who will be the Texans' starting quarterback, the good news is that Houston seems to be on the rise with a lot of talent already on the roster. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. A lot of talent already on the roster? The hell are you smoking? Where is the talent? Damian Pierce, Jalen Petrie, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard.
Nico Collins?
No.
Amari Rodgers?
No.
The tight ends whose name I forgot?
O.J. Howard.
Well, not him. There's Keegan another guy.
Keegan Quarantino.
That guy.
I know I butchered his name wrong. I know I didn't get it. I forget what it is off the top of my head.
It's like guy Tarantino who looks like that Bill starts Burr, with a Q.
Cam Johnston. Kaimi Fairbairn, I can't see. Yeah, let's be honest, guys. There's almost no talent here. Like, we don't even know if Derek Stingley's good. We don't know if Kenyon Green's good. The idea that there's talent here is wrong.
Rex Burkhead.
Well, hang on. That's different.
Yeah.
I think Rex Burkhead could play corner.
You know, I'd love to watch him.
There's a lot, Sean, of discrimination against, you know, white cornerbacks. And just for the sake of being fair and balanced, like, why isn't there another Jason Sehorn out there? Why not?
Kids, if you're listening right now,
don't give up on your dreams.
Yes.
You could be a white cornerback.
Paul needs you to. If you're a kid.
Why can we only play safety, Sean?
If you're a high schooler or lower listening to the show, go try out for football and tell your coach you want to play corner.
Yeah.
If you're white.
Why?
Oh, if you're black too, you can also play corner.
You know,
I feel like that's important. Both races can play corner. Any race can play corner.
Any race can play corner.
Including white.
But why are white people always being put on the back of the defense at safety as opposed to at cornerback? What, I got to go to the back? Why? I'll stop now. We
really tailed off into some dangerous waters.
Yes,
there.
We did. 713-780-3776 to call in to text it. Well, listen, last Friday, someone claimed I was racist on the way out. We got to do it again. It's fun, isn't it? To have people guessing whether or not you're a bigot. It's not actually. Anyway, up next on the Paul Gallant Show, it's All-Star Weekend in the NBA. Huzzah! Sean is now tasked with getting me hyped for something that I will likely watch absolutely none of, because this slam dunk competition, these skills competition, this three-point competition, it's great. Plus some other stuff going on around the NBA in a rousing edition of This League! Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Side note, as we hear Round Ball Raw coming into this segment, NBC, I guess, is thinking about trying to get the NBA back. Problem is, they sold the rights to this theme song to Fox Sports, who now plays it in the build-up to Big East basketball games that don't feature any of the important Big East teams of old, like Syracuse, UConn, others.
I mean, when I listen to this, I think of Creighton versus Seton Hall. That's what I think.
I mean, that's legitimately what it's being used for now, Sean. I highly encourage anyone, by the way, who hasn't, YouTube John Tesh Round Ball Rock live. You will die of laughter. It is hysterical to watch him fake dribble a basketball as he gets people hyped up for this song with a voicemail that he claims he called and left for himself so that he could create the theme for the NBA on NBC. But it is a banger. It is the best sports theme there ever is. It is sad that we do not hear it. I wish that TNT would man up and buy it. You got Chuck money. Why don't you have Round Ball Rock money? Anyway, it is All-Star Weekend as we go around the NBA, and I thought it would be funny for Sean Mapes, our resident NBA expert, to ask me questions about what's going on this weekend. Not about the All-Star game itself, but about everything leading up to it, because I will not watch any of this. Full disclosure, I will maybe see highlights of the All-Star game. I'll figure out who won all the competitions, but you got a three-point competition, you got a slam dunk competition, and a skills competition, and from the sound of things, Sean, we got some real headliners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So let's start with the skills competition.
Okay.
First of all, there's going to be three teams.
Teams.
This is the second year that they've done that. I know last year you remember how that all worked.
Yeah, I do. Totally.
Anyway, normally there's team rookies, there's team host city here, and then there's a third team. Last year, it was the Antetokounmpo brothers. This year, the Antetokounmpo brothers are back.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's fun.
So you got Giannis and Thanasis from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
And then you have Alex from the Wisconsin Herd, G League affiliate.
It feels it's in Salt Lake City. It's kind of strange that they have like a team of Milwaukee Bucks that are in the skills competition. Also, I don't really think about skills when I think of Giannis as much as like he just bulldozes everybody. Perhaps that makes me sound like James Harden.
Yeah, all he does is run and jump. No, I agree. I agree with you and James Harden. All he does is run and jump.
What other teams are here?
So you have Team Utah Jazz.
Oh.
That's a headline with Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton.
Okay, maybe Colin Sexton actually has some handle, but...
Oh, Jordan Clarkson. You're playing out Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Okay, who's the other team?
Team Rooks.
Team Rooks.
That's Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic.
I do know that one.
Jaden Ivey of the Detroit Pistons.
I would have never known.
And Houston Rocket Jabari Smith Jr.
Wait, he's in the skills competition too?
Yeah.
How?
They need Team Rooks. They need three Rooks.
Yeah, but like, aren't there better rookies to pick from?
Nah.
I don't think about skills when I think of Jabari Smith Jr. Much like with Giannis, think about jumping. That's really it.
It's mostly chest passes in the skills competition, bounce passes.
Okay.
Dribbling through cones.
Dribbling through cones. Wow.
Not through riveting. Cones, around cones.
I'm out of the skills competition. I'd rather watch the Celebrity All-Star game and hope that somebody goes around hard fouling everybody. And I'll be honest, I will probably watch part of the Celebrity All-Star.
No, you won't.
Yeah, because I just want to size everybody up to see, like, all right, how would I do?
I think it's, like, pre-recorded. Like, yeah. This doesn't even come on live.
So?
Okay.
I want to know what I would
do. I do not have the rosters for the Celebrity game in front of me.
Damn, Sean.
It's not on this article.
That's all that matters. Fine. Okay, what else is going on in the non-All-Star game segment of All-Star Weekend?
Do you want to pick a winner for the three-point contest?
Okay.
Do you know who's in it?
No, I've
not. Oh, okay. Don't worry. I'll read off the names.
Okay. Don't tell me where they're from. I want to guess.
Damian Lillard.
Okay. Portland.
Jason Tatum.
I like that. Celtics.
Okay.
He's in the three-point competition?
Yeah.
That's strange, but okay, at least he's a headliner.
And then you got Kevin Huerter.
Does he play for the main Red Claws?
Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings, gotcha. Okay.
No, Sam Hauser did not make the cut.
You know what? The Sacramento Kings scored 140 points on the Rockets almost four times this year. How about that?
You got Tyler Hero.
Okay. Miami.
Yep. You got Tyrese Halliburton.
Also Sacramento?
You're close. He got drafted by Sacramento, played there for a year, and then got traded for Sabonis. He plays for Indiana.
Oh, okay.
You got Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield.
So two Pacer teammates.
Hell yeah.
Duking it out. That's going to be contentious. You got Lauri Markkanen.
Chicago?
Utah.
Damn.
He started in Chicago.
So it's like all my takes are 3 years old.
And then Julius Randle. New York Knick.
We got to stop with the Knicks foisting. No one wants to see this.
You don't want to watch Julius Randle shoot threes?
Yes, I do not want to watch Julius Randle shoot threes. Okay, so that's the three-point competition. The slam dunk, though, I'm sure this is actually going to have some headliners.
It closes,
LeBron, Giannis.
Closes the night.
What do we got?
Of course. You got KJ Barton, Houston Rockets. Well represented on All-Star
Saturday. Wait, yeah, why? Why? No, they don't deserve this. I think also, I think none of the Rockets should go to All-Star Weekend. Like, you got to focus on yourselves. Because, if they couldn't handle Christmas break, how are they going to handle... How are they going to handle the All-Star break?
An actual temptation?
Yeah, like a celebration where everyone just goes out and gets absolutely plastered in Utah, if that's possible. I think the alcohol content in drinks in Utah, like by default, like the legal limit, they have to put less alcohol in the stuff that they sell. I think Kansas does that too. Anyway, all right, so we got
KJ Martin. Yes.
Okay.
We have New Orleans Pelicans star Trey Murphy.
Who is that?
Trey Murphy III, I should say.
Where did he play in college?
I don't know.
We have no idea. All right,
Virginia?
Who else?
I don't know.
I've never heard of him before.
Jericho Sims from the New York Knicks.
What a great first name. Jericho, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Longhorn legend, Jericho Sims.
Oh, he's a UT guy?
Yeah.
All right, so we're rooting for Jericho Sims.
Or are you rooting for Mac McClung of the Delaware Bluecoats, not Redcoats?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
The guy's not even an NBA player.
Well, it's... Delaware Bluecoats / Philadelphia 76ers, but he's never actually played for the 76ers.
What the hell? I you know what? I get it. The All-Star Weekend, it's with every single sport becoming less and less of a priority for the best players. Really, I think just want time off.
I mean, in every sport, like the best players are playing less of the actual games.
The All-Star
baseball game. So asking them to do All-Star games is a bit much.
The baseball All-Star game is like the only one where they still actually play. And the slam dunk competition isn't what it used to be, but this is the best they could do. No one wants to do the slam dunk competition. It's crazy. I mean, we went from these iconic days where it was like Michael Jordan versus Dominique Wilkins. We had short guys like Spud Webb. And now here we are, and some of these guys aren't even really in the league.
Well, one guy's not really in the league. And one guy plays for the Rockets, so.
This guy would have things in common with somebody who is, like, the Bachelor in saying former NBA player without actually really being an NBA player.
You know what, though? I think Mac McClung is going to win just because he's the only guy who's not an NBA player. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he definitely cares the most.
Okay. Perhaps this is a... You know what? I'm not going to ask the question.
He is white.
Okay. You knew where I was going with that one. Okay.
No, you may have seen his high school mixtape. It was very good.
What, was it like the professor from the N1 mixtape
No,
tour?
It was a lot of dunks.
Okay.
He was dunking all over for us.
Well, you've really sold me on All-Star Weekend.
Which All-Star event are you most interested in of the three we just read
clearly
off?
Clearly the skills competition, because at least I recognize any of those people. Yeah. Man, that's a disappointing slam dunk competition. Actually, for real, the three-point competition will be interesting. I just don't think of any of those guys as, like, great three-point shooters. Like, Damian Lillard's a great scorer. Jason Tatum can be a great scorer. But, I mean, why isn't Steph doing it?
He's hurt.
So? It's a three-point competition.
Just hobble around.
Just
it's
hobble
timed.
Around. If he could win hobbling around, I mean, that would
legacy
be pretty
legacy points added?
Oh, yeah. Add to his legacy. Some other stuff going on around the NBA. Per NBA vote, NBA MVP vote projections, Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP for the third straight year. Patrick Beverley says that the issues with the Lakers had nothing to do with basketball. They were all off the court, essentially. I saw a very fair point made by someone who works in Portland that has to do with the NBA. It has to do with this Phoenix poster that they have outside of the arena where it shows Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. A tweet from Aaron Fentress. The NBA can be so competitively corny at times. Durant would have made 10 other solid teams contenders, but he chose a team that had the best record last year and went to the finals the season before. So on brand. Is that not a great point? Like, I hope Durant wins in Phoenix. I hope that he finds peace, because I actually do like Kevin Durant, the basketball player, because I don't think he's an insufferable prat off the court. Like, yeah, I'm using British terms now, like Kyrie and LeBron can be. But he did just join the best team again from last year in the Western Conference.
Yeah, the best team from last year, though. They were not good this year.
I get you. I got you. But I mean, like, the last two seasons, they have been one of the best teams in the NBA, and he's joining that team. I think it's a fair point.
It definitely was a fair point last offseason when the first time he demanded a trade from the Brooklyn Nets.
To Phoenix.
Yeah. To Phoenix. Yeah. Phoenix was one of the teams.
That was the team that he was rumored wanting to join this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Phoenix, and I think, like, Miami.
One last little tidbit of information. The Clippers are talking to Russell Westbrook, who is a free agent right now.
Hmm.
Crosstown rivalry in Los Angeles.
Doesn't have to sell his house that's across the street from LeBron's.
That's true. Very true. That is Sean Apes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. That was this league as we take a look around the NBA. Up next, we have garbage time. If you got any final thoughts on why you trust Dana Brown to the degree that you do, please let me know before we hit the road on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We've also got an all-time bad suggestion by a disgraced sports executive about the future of the Super Bowl. You will hear it next, plus a little garbage time. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
A couple of things to clean up before we hit the road. Not Santa did point out that one reason to watch the Celebrity All-Star Game is that Alex Bregman is going to be one of the coaches this weekend.
Assistant coaches.
Assistant coaches. Okay, who is he the assistant to?
I have no idea who the head coach is.
Come on, Sean.
Jalen Rose. It's always just some random ESPN person.
We'll talk about Jalen Rose a little bit later in this garbage time segment.
Also, I did forget to mention, I didn't have it in front of me. The person on Sunday night before the All-Star game doing the player introductions is going to be none other than one Vin Diesel, a.k.a. Mark Sinclair.
F yeah.
A.k.a. Dominic Toretto.
Who's Mark Sinclair?
That's his birth name.
Oh.
His real name isn't Vin Diesel.
Oh. Kind of disappointed now.
What?
I didn't want to know that.
Sorry.
You're taking away from the mystique of Riddick, of Dom Toretto, of Triple X. Not to be confused with Triple X State of the Union. That had Ice Cube in it. Triple X, the original. What a movie. I'm trying to think of all the movies that essentially tried to rip off Fast and Furious in some way, shape, or form. Do you remember the movie Torque? Also featured Ice Cube. This was motorbikes as opposed to cars. And it featured some white guy I've never heard of, some hot white chick I've never heard of, and Ice Cube's in it too. Not a bad movie.
Remember the movie Jumper?
Jumper. Is that the one with Hayden Christensen?
Yes.
Yeah.
About, like, jumping out of planes?
I thought the Jumper was about him, like, teleporting or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He can also do that.
Okay. That's slightly different. That's a little bit more of a fantasy world. Motorcycles and cars, that's a little bit different. Welcome to the Brotherhood of Muscle. Vin Diesel announcing names is pretty sick. He's got a beautiful voice.
Here's Darius Garland.
Let me introduce my family. The Celebrity All-Star Game I do think will be fun, though. I hope that Alex Bregman gets in somebody's face. You know, I hope that there's some celebrity out there that I don't like that also gets absolutely hard-line fouled. Like, just gets clobbered. And then the person who does it gets ejected. But, like, I'll have respect for that person. What you should do when you do it, theoretical person who obviously won't do this, you get up and you say, oh, I'm more of a football guy. And then you just move on. And everyone has to believe you. You say, like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm just klutz. I'm a bull in a china shop. That's how you get away with doing nefarious things, playing pickup basketball. Joel Blank knows because he's seen me play pickup basketball before. I think he's horrified by what he's seen. Another comment before this awful take by a disgraced sports executive. Ocho texted in, I want to believe in the Cougs, who are probably going to be number one at the end of the weekend, assuming they take care of business against Memphis on Sunday. But I just can't trust poor free throw shooting teams to win championships. I'm with you there. It's one of the things that always made me nervous about Syracuse going into the tournament. Always a bad free throw shooting team. That is a big problem for the Cougs, and they have had their good days. But are they going to be able to go six games through the tourney without having one bad day at the stripe? I don't know. Dan Le Batard had former ESPN chairman John Skipper aboard. Skipper had this take about the way the Super Bowl could be in the future. I assume that there are some number of people that that's the only game they watch the entire year and they don't want to be left out. That's a pretty great place to be for a live event. 50% of the country does not want to be left out. It leads me to a different discussion. If half the country is watching your game for free, how many of those people would pay a big sum of money to watch the game? If you just assume half of the people watched would still watch if it cost $250 for a household, you're just going to have bigger parties. I don't know how many households. I assume half the households who watched, if only a quarter of them are willing to pay $250 to have a party at their house, it would still get you into the billions of dollars for a single game. And that is the single best way I can think of for the NFL to increase their annual revenue stake for their clubs is to make the Super Bowl a pay-per-view event. Bleep you. Bleep you, John Skipper, for even putting that out there, because there's some greasy fat cat at the NFL who's going to hear that. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea.
It is crazy how only, like, combat sports are pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, they're the only ones that, like, can run on that model.
College football used to be. But it would be for games that didn't matter.
Yeah, it'd be like...
like Florida versus Florida A&M, for example. Yeah. When I was in Florida, I remember I actually had convinced my mom a couple of times to buy a Florida Gator pay-per-view game. But now, like all those ESPN apps, you can essentially get a broadcast of every single game in college football, which is really cool. We've come a long way on that front, if you have like the ESPN3. But it used to be that way in college football. This is not good. That someone put it out there. Someone will try this. I don't know if it's going to be for the Super Bowl, but it's not a bad point. I just hate to put it out there.
That's the worst part about it, is that it is a good idea.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of money.
But it's like, oh, man, that kind of hurts us.
Yeah, let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Former Houston Astro and New York Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole was asked about the Yankees' struggles against the Houston Astros last season. He had this to say.
I mean, we got waxed. So, you know, anytime you get waxed, it doesn't feel good, whether you're going to the salon or you're on the baseball field. So,
what the hell was that noise at the end? Gross. Does Gerrit Cole get waxed? Is this a Yankee thing? Do they wax their chests?
Well, they have the no facial hair rule. So, like...
So, no body hair.
It's like one step ahead.
We're learning new things every day. I mean, you could just get, you know, like a Manscaped razor or something like that. One of those electric things to, you know, clean yourself up downstairs and on your chest and such. But I'm guessing that's another policy with the New York Yankees, that they get themselves waxed. I can say with pride that I have never been waxed in my life. I have never done that. I had people suggest that I do that with my eyebrows a lot, though. A lot. No, your boy cleans them up himself. Waxing your eyebrows? Now, maybe for Anthony Davis, because it's like a lost cause. It's a freaking battlefield up there. Okay, fine. Like those are some serious hedges. But Gerrit Cole talking about waxing as if he knows what he's talking about, to me, is probably a sign that he waxes himself. Listen, you got chest hair? Let it grow. Maybe clean it up a little bit, but don't get rid of your chest hair. That's a sign of manliness. You got some back hair, okay. Maybe that's where it gets a little bit dangerous. But hey, like, hair is hair, everybody. You can be fuzzy. It's fine. New York Yankees, though, if you are, you have to get your body completely waxed. They might shave their legs, which I found out recently is something that people do. Like, I remember Josh Innes told me that when he was in high school that he shaved his legs. I know. I was like, what? What is going on here?
Was he a swimmer or something?
I don't know. And his producer at the time, this was the J&R show at the flagship like 10 years ago. Ben Nance said he did it too. I was like, what's wrong with you guys? Let it grow. Whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm gonna ask everyone I meet, every man I meet, do you shave your legs?
I bet people today shave their legs, in Gen Z especially. While we're on grooming, Jalen Rose says a man should spend a minimum of $100 a haircut.
Yep, agree.
When's the last time you had your hair cut, Sean?
I get trimmed every once in a while.
Do you trust them when they trim it? Because you do have a really nice head of hair. It's long. I know when I used to have long hair, whenever they cut my hair, I would end up looking lesbian. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it did not look good for me to go from being shaggy to having this like weird, not a great look after the fact.
Yeah, that's always a risk. But no, I trust the person who cuts my hair.
I do too. I will say 100 is too much. But I think 50 to 60, I pay 50 and I leave, you know, 20% tip. Annie's been cutting my hair for a while. I trust her with my life. I go like every, I don't know, month and a half or so. It probably would be a little bit trickier, though, if you are black. And I know that guys who go to the barbershop, like you're getting edged like what, every other week? How much does that cost?
I think he's kind of talking about that. I don't think he's talking about like, you know, regular Joes going in and getting a 3 on the side.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I was about to say,
like, $100 a week. Like, Jesus, dude. That's a lot. One last story. Per doctors, the average penis length of men has grown in the last 30 years. Doctors call it concerning. I think it's concerning, too. I don't want Gen Z having, you know, more heat than me. It's outrageous. And apparently it might have to do with, like, plastic or something like that. The phones in our pockets. We're mutating. This is not fair. The youngers, the youth should not be packing more than us. But now you know, everybody.
What a way to end the week.
That's the Paul Gallant Show, everybody. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, callers, and Twitchers. Killer Bees are up next. Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Peace.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save